On this solemnity of Corpus Christi, one of the questions that often comes up in my mind is, why do we need a celebration in honor of the Eucharist? When, in fact, we are right here at the Eucharist about to celebrate the Eucharist. Isn't every Sunday, every Mass, supposed to be a celebration of the Eucharist? And indeed, of course, it is. But we need a special day like Corpus Christi because a lot of times it's easy, especially out of routine, to just let the Eucharist become ordinary. I go to Mass each Sunday, I go and receive the Eucharist, I go home, and you know, our life can just keep going on like that, and maybe the Eucharist doesn't make any difference in our lives. Maybe we take it for granted a little bit. There's a traditional kind of plaque that gets put in sacristies because priests are, of course, vulnerable to this too. The plaque often reads, "Father, pray this Mass as though it were your first Mass, your last Mass, your only Mass." And I think that would go well for all of us to come to Mass every time, as much as we can, to try to think, what if this were my first communion, my last communion, my only communion? Think about how beautifully we treat the sacrament at First Holy Communion. The little kids, they all dress up so beautifully, and they prepare, and they're very into the participation at the liturgy because they're about to receive something that they know is very special. Theoretically, we should try to be like that every time we receive the Eucharist. Now, we know that the Eucharist is ultimately about a personal relationship with Jesus. At the core of what the Eucharist is, it's to receive one that we love, one who loves us so much that he wants to be as close to us as possible. That's why Jesus comes to us as food. I mean, what could be closer to us than the very food that we eat? That's how much Jesus loves us, how much he wants to be with us. That's at the what's really the root of the Eucharist. That's why St. Paul considers this to be such a serious thing. Notice that whenever the scriptures talk about the Eucharist, there's always that little line that gets me. St. Paul says it today in the reading. On the night when he was to be handed over, literally betrayed. On the night he was betrayed, we say as we celebrate the Eucharist every time. You know, on this beautiful sacrament of love, sometimes I wonder, why do we have to keep putting that in there? Why do we have to bring up the fact that, you know, at this beautiful sacrament of the Eucharist, oh yeah, this is the night also that Judas betrays him. It's the night before he's crucified. Why bring that ugly scene into what seems so beautiful in the Eucharist? Well, the reason why we do that and why St. Paul wants to remind us how serious the Eucharist is because that's the essence of what it's about. The Eucharist and the love of Jesus are intimately connected with the cross. That's why every time we celebrate Mass, we're required to have a crucifix with the image of Christ crucified on it so that we'll know where we're at. Every time we celebrate the Eucharist, it is the representation of the sacrifice of Jesus on Calvary. It's as if we are standing there at the foot of the cross with John and Mary and the other disciples. That's why St. Paul can say this is serious business. He tells us this is the proclamation of the death of the Lord to receive the Eucharist. In another place, St. Paul reminds us, therefore, that if we are to receive the Eucharist, one should examine themselves well and make sure that we're worthy. Because to receive the Eucharist unworthily, St. Paul says, is that we eat and drink condemnation upon ourselves. That's serious business. So the obvious question then is, well, who's worthy to receive the Eucharist? You know, and the short answer is nobody. So just to get that one out of the way, none of us are worthy of the Eucharist. But in a more strict sense, what is necessary to receive the Eucharist? Can just anybody come? Well, obviously we know, okay, you need to be Catholic. That's because one of the most important things that we say when we receive the Eucharist is that we truly believe that this is not bread and wine on our altar, that it really is God, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus right here on our altar. So obviously that takes some faith. It takes a belief in that most of the time anyway, those who are not Catholic don't have. The other thing it says, though, is it says that I am in communion with the church. In order to become Catholic, for instance, if you're here when all of the new Catholics join the church, they all stand up here together and they all say, I believe and profess all that the Holy Catholic Church teaches and proclaims to be revealed by God. That's what you have to say to get in. So when we receive the Eucharist, we're reaffirming that. We're reaffirming not just that we believe that this really is God, but that we believe and profess all that the Church believes and teaches. So although none of us are worthy to receive the Eucharist, we have to be careful that we are authentic when we come and we truly say amen when the priest says the body of Christ, Corpus Christi. Do we really believe that? Now, I'm not saying that, you know, those of us who maybe struggle a little bit, everybody struggles with certain things in the faith, things that are harder to believe or accept. There's nothing wrong with that. The Church is not at all saying that you have to be perfect to receive the Eucharist. Hardly. The Eucharist is how we become more perfect. So everybody who receives the Eucharist is a sinner. The problem becomes when we kind of harden our hearts against change. The Eucharist is a sacrament of conversion as well. We grow in holiness. So we can't come and receive the Eucharist if we don't really believe that it is God, or we're not willing to try to believe it. We can't come and receive the Eucharist and say, yeah, but I reject these key teachings of the gospel. I don't believe what Christ's Church says on this or that. We'd be a hypocrite to come before the whole community and receive the Eucharist and say, I believe this when really I don't. That's what Paul is talking about when he's talking about we need to discern well before we receive communion. All of us are sinners. Even if we're in mortal sin, we go to confession and then we can receive the Eucharist. So that's why life and death, really, is what this is all about. Why St. Paul can say it so serious. You know, as I was doing my holy hour, I began to pray over the sequence for today. You might have seen it in your missal. It's an optional thing for today, so we don't normally do it. But there was a line in there that really struck me. St. Thomas Aquinas wrote this for the Feast of Corpus Christi, and he gets very technical. He's a theologian. But he wrote these couple lines that caught my attention, because this is meant to be proclaimed in the liturgy, so he's saying it to people who are obviously at Mass. He says, the good receive him, the bad receive him, but with what unequal consequences of life or death? It is death to the unworthy, life to the worthy. Behold them of a like reception, how unlike may be the result. Those lines just kind of caught me, that anybody can come receive the Eucharist. For some, it's life, as it should be, the bread of life. But if we're in a state of mortal sin, if we're not in communion with the Church, not only is it not life, it's death. It's our condemnation. Life and death tied up in the Eucharist. That's how come we need to be reminded about the sacredness and not to take lightly this sacrament. But, you know, the other side of this is also this aspect of communion. There's a reason why we call it communion. It is indeed communion with Jesus. He does come so close to us. But communion also with the other members of the body of Christ. It's not a me and Jesus alone kind of thing to be a Christian. It's not about I come to Mass and I get what I needed and then I go. It's about us becoming more who we're called to be, the body of Christ in the world. We become what we receive, as the fathers of the Church said. That means that ultimately we have to recognize that we're a family here at Curia of Ars. Now, it's a little harder for us because we're a large parish. You know, we've got quite a few thousand families here. It's not as easy for us to be a family, but yet that's what we're called to be. The Eucharist is help what makes us a family. It's at the center of our family. Just like, you know, in any family, the family meal, dinner together, that used to be kind of the center of family life. I know in my family, at least, you better have a good reason if you were going to miss dinner. And it wasn't going to be, well, I've got practice, or I'm going to go with my friends. Like, you're going to be home for dinner. That was what made us a family. I'd urge us, we kind of lose that today. It's so easy to run everywhere, and I'll grab some food here, and they'll grab food here, and family's got to eat together at some point. You know, that's what's kind of on my mind right now, because like most people, I'm thinking about one thing, barbecue. It was awesome last night. One of my favorite events in the parish year is the Holy Smokes barbecue. not just because I love barbecue. I do. It's amazing when 40 different teams, each of them says, oh, Father, try a little bit of our sausage. 40 little bits of sausage, after a while, adds up to a good chunk of meat that I consumed. I love that part. But more than that, I love the fact that I go out there in the parking lot and everybody's having a great time. Family is not in a hurry to go anywhere. Everybody's sitting out in their lawn chairs. They got their drinks. They got their food. Everybody's got their little booth. I just walk around and I visit with everybody, and everybody's trying to get to know each other and have a good time. That's what a family does. We're called to be that kind of family inside and outside this church. To receive the Eucharist says, I care about the other people in the body of Christ. The poor, the sick, the homeless, yes, in the world, but each of us that's here. You know, we can't just come forward, receive the Eucharist, and then go flying out the door, you know, trying to get out as quick as possible, especially, you know, leaving early. I can only imagine what would happen in my house if I got up from the dinner table and said, okay, see you guys, I'm leaving. You just sit right back down. Dinner's not over yet, son. I'm like, okay, I'll sit and wait. Now tell me about your day. I'm like, I don't want to tell about my day. You know, but that's part of what keeps a family together. It makes me, I have to admit, a little sad sometimes when I'm standing in the back of church and Mass isn't over yet, and I'll come over from the rectory because everybody's leaving, and I'm thinking, oh, Mass is over, and it's only communion time. You know, and people, they want to wave to me as they're going out. It's like the middle of communion. They're like, oh, bye, Father Sean. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, it's hard to be happy because leaving early, it means probably the person doesn't understand at all who they just received. And that's the saddest thing, because I feel like maybe I failed to not instruct well enough and to help people understand what the Eucharist is. But then it's also kind of turning your back on your family. You know, imagine what would happen if instead of, you know, worrying about how quick we can get out of Mass, what if we just decided to kind of stay after we were done? Maybe we say a thanksgiving to God, and then we go out in the gathering space, and we meet some of these other members of our family. We get to know them. We can hang out. We can go out to lunch with them, go to brunch, meet somebody new. That's how we grow as a family. So those two things, I think, today are what most stick out to me on Corpus Christi. Our need to reaffirm just how special this is, that this is God. Can never take it lightly. But then to realize this larger call to be disciples of Jesus, truly not in isolation, but together. May the Eucharist today truly bring us more into communion. Communion with Jesus, our Savior, but communion with all of us, the body of Christ. The truth is, every time we receive the Eucharist, we receive power enough to change our families and the world. The question today is, what will our reception of the Eucharist mean? Perhaps most importantly, what difference will the reception of the Eucharist make in our lives? For our parish, our families, for each of us. What difference does the Eucharist make?